Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, big weekend coming up, man. This is this has the potential to be a whole lot of fun. With the Astros and the Rockets, obviously Rockets, you got playoff basketball. It doesn't get any better than that. Game six tonight, 8 o'clock tip. And if you're going to split the screen, you got a little Framber Valdez action on the mound. Framber, who is, I would say, of the things that are concerning with the Astros early on, I don't know that I'm concerned about Framber yet, but other than a couple of starts, you know, his first start and his third start, he was good. He pitched like 6 shutout innings and 7 shutout innings. The other ones have been anywhere from kind of shaky to really shaky for Framber so far. Like, he's not been the hammer. Certainly, few have, but he hasn't been the hammer that Hunter Brown has been at the top of the rotation.
Well, this is where, as good as the Astros pitching has been, where it still feels a little bit precarious is that we don't really know what we have in Ryan Gusto. We don't really know what we have in Wisniewski. And then Blanco and Framber aren't really being the best version of themselves. And so there, it still feels like then the wheels could come off the wagon. If they come off the wagon in the wrong direction a little bit, this incredible pitching that they've gotten over the first month or so of the season doesn't do as much for you, especially if the offense doesn't get in gear. To an extreme degree.
Framber 1-3 with an even 4 ERA. His WHIP is okay, 1.19. It's not, you know, that's, I don't know how that stacks up to Framber.
1.2 is about, it's better than average, but it's not as,
it's not him, you know, it's not like, it's not Framber level. Framber 1.0. It's not bad. He's not awful. He's just not been, he hasn't been great yet. And this is a team that, you know, look, I know we're only a month and change into the season. This looks like a team right now that is going to be more carried by its pitching than it is its offense, if I had to guess. So now the good news is you are getting some reinforcements here. Spencer Arrighetti is going to come back pretty soon from his injury. You've been without him. And then, you know, the other thing, we get to see what Lance McCullers has in store for us on Sunday.
You know what? His WHIP is actually wake. It's at least, it's almost 1.2. He's usually about a 1.1,
okay,
or a little bit above that. So it's not,
so he's in the neighborhood.
He's not been way traffic, more trafficky than he typically is.
That's good. Yeah. So he's, I think that's reflective of my level of concern. Like, okay, not super concerned, but they're going to need a better version of Framber if they're going to do what they want to do.
The biggest thing, honestly, is ERA plus. Like, the average, it's standardized so that the average pitcher is a 100.
Yeah.
He's at a 99 right now, where typically he's in the 130s.
So,
if you want just one single stat that kind of shows, take everything else out of it, he's not himself.
No, and some of it's the opportunity cost, too. Like, okay, well, if we held on to you and kept from trading you for premium prospects so that we get the version of you that you've been the last 4 years, you know, so there's part of that, too. You know, when he's just average, you know.
Maybe Framber, now that he's a made man in so many regards and he's been so good for so long, but now all of a sudden he finds himself in this weird year where you don't exactly know what the future is. Maybe it's as simple as that. He's just a little uncomfortable with being in this situation.
That could be, man. No, some guys respond to being in a contract year better than others. You know, they can't dismiss that.
Yeah.
That's I don't think that's a I don't think that's a bad theory at all.
His sports psychologist needs to probe and get in there and find out if that is any if that is any part of the issue right
now. Yeah, man, you're here for a reason, sports psychologist guy, all right? Boy, I'm getting excited. They're showing highlights on the screen right now of the Rockets just smothering the Warriors in Game 5. Amen Thompson picking Steph Curry's pocket at midcourt. This will be a big deal. That might be the thing I'm most interested to see tonight is the Steph Curry dynamic. For whatever reason, I know the thumb has been a big topic the last 48 hours because Dylan Brooks unabashedly went after the thumb, didn't apologize for it in the postgame or anything, just said this is basketball. Guys get injuries. This is sports, really. Guys get injuries in certain parts of their body, and within the boundaries of the rules that you can go after it, or even outside the rules if you're willing to accept the penalties, you go after those things. For whatever reason, ESPN decided to put a graphic at the bottom of the screen during Get Up where it said, Steph Curry, in parentheses, thumb, expected to play tonight.
Expected to play.
I didn't know there was a question about him playing or not tonight.
Steph has scored a combined 30 points in the last two games.
Yeah.
And I'll read this from the San Francisco Chronicle, because I like to go behind enemy lines, Sean.
Yes, you're
the
best.
San Francisco Chronicle says this: if the Warriors lose Game 6 on Friday, we all should have seen the warning signs in Game 5. How Amen Thompson dominated Curry, how Golden State's defense wilted, how its offense sputtered amid Houston's relentless pressure.
Yep.
Those three things, I think, by and large, is what most Rockets fans, if you have to speak in generalities, limit Steph Curry the way you did in Game 5.
Yep.
The Golden State's defense just fell apart. The Rockets just keeping the pressure on and taking the ball, taking the fight to them. And then the big man defense, especially the big man defense for the Rockets, really making the Warriors uncomfortable, shifting back and forth between man and zone and just not letting them get a bead on how to attack the Rockets. That's all you got to do. Just do those three things. Simple.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, that's
I am joking when I say it's simple.
The San Francisco Chronicle isn't, they're not breaking news as to how the Rockets are going to win this thing. It's just the Warriors didn't react to it very well at all in Game 5 at all.
I just enjoyed the prose, the writing there. I thought it was good.
It was good.
It sounded good for the Rockets.
It did.
Amen Thompson dominated Curry.
He did.
Golden State's defense wilted.
Yeah.
And then its offense sputtered amid Houston's relentless pressure.
Sputtered, wilted, dominated. Those are good verbs, man.
Oh, you cucks. Golden State, sputtered, wilted, dominated. That's our headline coming in on Monday morning if the Rockets pull off what I thought seemed impossible after Game 4.
Indeed. Peak Amen Thompson showing up would be a good thing again. If the first couple, two and a half, three games of this series, Seth, was Amen Thompson kind of shaking off whatever rookie jitters there were about the postseason, and the version that we've got in the last two games, really, is what we're getting. That's bad news for Golden State. I would sign up right now for 75% free throw shooting tonight without knowing what's behind door number two. Door number two might be a night like they had in Game 5 where they shot 85% or whatever it was. But it also might be what they normally do, which is in the mid-60s. You give me 75% free throw shooting tonight, and I feel good about them winning this game. There's at least one, obviously Game 4, and if not two, one of those other two games that they lost by 10 and 9, where there got to be margin at the end of those games that the Warriors, all close games where they were piling on more at the end. You make some free throws and the game pressure is a little bit different during that game, and I think the Rockets win one or two of those games.
Well, Game 3 is the one where it came down to the wire and it felt very much like, wow, the Warriors have been in this situation before. The Rockets do not look like it. Because the Warriors had the Rockets were down to their third option on that play by the time Shangoon was driving to the rim and he pulled up short.
Yeah, it was Game 4.
That was Game 4.
Game 4,
That's right, yeah. And pulled up short with Draymond in his face.
Yep.
Like, that's where it felt like, man, if it comes down to the final minutes, you got to really show your mettle on the road and show that you've figured and learned some things out over the in your first playoff series.
No doubt at all. So we got that, and then Saturday we've got Hunter Brown. We get a Hunter Brown start on Saturday. We get a James Harden Game 7. That's a big topic on TV today. Is James Harden up to snuff? Is he up to the task in a Game 7? Familiar territory.
So, James Harden was really good in the game six. Got him a win.
Yep.
But the Clippers fans are no strangers. They're not. It isn't new to them that James Harden wilts in games five through seven. Games five and six last year when they lost to the Mavs, he was a disaster. He was shooting like 25% from the floor.
I've forgotten about that, man. I forgot how utterly horrible he was. And then, man, Sunday. Hopefully a Rockets game seven and Lance McCullers on the mound. It's a good weekend.
Look, personally, maybe this will come back to bite me, and I apologize if it does, Rockets fans. But there's a part of me that I want James Harden to have a magnificent game seven. I'd like for him to get over this obstacle. It's the thing that's really kept him from being regarded as the player he could be if he could just. If you could handle that simple obstacle of actually winning playoff series with clutch play and clutch games, that's all I'm asking. Yeah.
I would bet if I had to put up a poll, and I don't know, I'm curious to get Reggie and Luke's take on this. If I had to put up a poll about that, like, are you rooting for James Harden in this game?
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Seven. Knowing that my audience on social media is mostly Houstonians.
Yeah.
I would guess that no would win, but not by nearly as much as all the Harden haters out there would think. Like, I think you pointed this out, Seth, like the vitriol towards Harden either seems to have subsided or it's a different type of vitriol than it is maybe towards other guys who have left or that Houston people don't like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'd say it's long in the rearview mirror for me, and I just, now that the Rockets are back on track, I guess, the wound isn't open anymore.
Yeah.
And I can kind of appreciate Harden from a distance and remember the good things. I remember the good times we had, Sean. It's like when you get to be comfortable with your ex-wife, I suppose.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I can speak to that.
You can be happy for her if she's found a new guy, as long as he's not better than you in many regards.
That's impossible. That'll never happen. So what are your, Reggie, you were nodding your head along with me as I was saying some James Harden things.
Yeah, for me personally, I've been fond of James Harden, but when you were talking about the idea of the Houston contingent not being happy for him, I immediately took my brain back to the way that he made his exit from Houston.
And
I was like, I don't know that people are going to be all that forgiving of that. But I also, as I was thinking about it, I was like, I'm trying to figure, because Seth, I think you're right. There's some people that has subsided, especially with the success of these baby Rockets to some degree, but I feel like there's not going to be a lot of forgiveness there. And as I was going through those two kind of polls, I was like, I don't know what it would be. So I would love to see a Pender poll.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Ideal situation is that Harden has a great game seven, gets over, you know, kind of puts a dent in that narrative a little bit. But then at some point the Rockets beat the Clippers in the playoffs. And they do it in four games, so James Harden doesn't even have a chance to be in those moments. And
no, then it's
so much easier to be magnanimous in victory. And I would say, yes, well, look, good for you, James Harden, little fella. And then I'd tussle his hair.
He would love that.
Tussle his braids. That would have to happen in the final, in the Western Conference final.
It would, yeah, because they're not meeting him next. Yeah, it's Minnesota's who's waiting right now.
I am very much in line with you there, Seth, if for no other reason than I like the very very nice outcome.
Yeah.
I'd be tussling his hair as I would a toddler. It wouldn't be in that, like, in that white lady asking a black lady if she can touch her hair.
No, not that way.
Yeah, I appreciate the clarification.
Yeah. We knew where you were going. Yeah. Crosstalk, by the way, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. What's up, Luke? Good to see you.
Yeah, hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
This is another shape-shifting John Lopez, by the way.
Yeah. I'm trying to look. Brandon Scott, Luke Moore. Eventually, it just morphs back into John Lopez.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Good to see you. All right, so the question of the day.
That's right, the question of the day. Actually, in some ways, inspired by a frequent viewer of our YouTube page, Kicks Rocks.
Okay.
Yesterday was talking. I mentioned that, you know, we're about 2 weeks out from schedule release, and he's like, never really been a big fan of that. Mm. And then, you know, Kentucky Derby is this weekend as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, what thing or event are you just not in on? Do you just not rock with?
Oh, you know what? Before I get into my personal one, because I've got a very easy answer to that. The one, as far as the schedule release, by far the most annoying thing was on the first night of the draft. Was it the first night when they went out and they announced when they're going to announce the schedule?
The first night, yeah.
And I know the pick was already in, and I was trying to ignore my feed. I wanted to learn about the picks on television, but I knew the pick was already in.
Yeah.
And they came out and they dragged it out. It looked like the Country Music Awards with the two women they brought out.
Yes.
They were just like heavily met. And they dragged out the announcement of when the announcement of the schedule would
be. Yeah, yeah. That made me, and I love the schedule release. It's one of my favorite days of the year. Like, I'm whoever kicks rocks in the YouTube stream.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite of kicks rocks. I
tell them to kick rocks.
Go live up to your name. Exactly. Yeah. So I love the schedule release. All right. I have the benefit of already knowing what this question was. So I have three things.
Okay.
On my
very
list
good.
Here. One is anything having to do with tennis, like when tennis creeps up.
like Wimbledon, because that's going to be the biggest one. That has to step in.
Wimbledon.
Figgy, why are you booing? You like tennis.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm booing you.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah,
no,
yeah,
but especially if you're not a tennis fan, like they're asking you to now appreciate tennis on grass. Ooh.
I'll confine it to Wimbledon. I actually have more than three. I'll rapid fire. I'm not a huge Olympics guy.
See, that one, I'm
thankful that Luke is in for John Lopez today, because I don't think Lopez would let me leave the room without hitting me with a sock full of pennies.
I might be a close substitute, because I feel like the Olympics is like sports, but more accessible because you don't actually have to know a ton about the sports.
No,
but
that's true. Yeah, because it relieves the pressure. Just like you're talking about the stories. You get to brag about the Houston gymnasts. You know,
This is as a father of somebody whose daughter ran for Team USA at one point late in her high school career. I don't get into the Olympics. I'm into her stuff, but I'm not into the Olympics.
You're into being a father, but not into the Olympics.
Yeah. It's just not my deal.
It's lost a little bit of its luster because there's zero hint of amatorism anymore.
Right, that's part of it.
And I don't think staggering the summer and the winter, it made the Olympics feel less special.
Yeah.
It's like almost you finish one, and then all of a sudden you got all the storylines for the next one coming up.
All right, the last two, the royal family. Any of you out there that are the royal family?
Good answer.
Yeah, yeah, like 100%.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
stop
it's un-American.
It. Oh,
yeah,
stop
it. It's disgusting.
And I'm not a big fan of award shows. Like the people at the Grammys and the Oscars, and they have their parties for this. Not into that.
You're not allowed to have that take.
Why?
Because you are numero uno fan of MVP awards and stuff like that.
Right.
You love those types of awards.
No, I'm talking about the pretentiousness of the award show. It's all celebrities. It's masturbation in a room is what it is.
Yeah.
It's all there's no regular people in there. You know what I mean? It's all just people.
So the actual Oscars and everything you don't like watching.
Not my deal, man. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just, yeah. But yeah, the Oscars. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Yeah, it's, you know what? Yes, the Oscars. Because like the ESPYs, I actually enjoy. And the sports
that
ones.
That is insane to me. Yeah. I'm sorry. I cannot hold my tongue.
The sports ones.
The ESPYs are like the worst award shows that we have ever had. Because we have the actual MVPs and stuff for them. I'm like, why are we having these additional awards on top of the regular awards?
I don't go out of my way to watch it. But there's something about the Grammys and the Oscars and the Emmys that I'm just like, oh, I just, these people, man. Like, I just, yeah.
That's why Ricky Gervais a few years ago, taking a blowtorch to everyone.
Yeah, that was the greatest monologue of all time. I'm like, yes, finally, somebody said it for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I like the Oscars. My only favorite, my moment that I can't miss is when a child actor wins it, because I love seeing the people who have spent their entire lives sacrificing relationships and everything else, and are genuinely like people that are really, they've been in it and they've been waiting there for their Oscar for a long moment, and then some 11-year-old wins it and then the 11-year-old gets up and says, my entire life, I've never thought I could achieve it, but I did.
It's true. Yeah. The nominees are George Burns, Art Carney, and the winner is Macaulay Culkin. Yeah. All right, fellas, we have taken up too much of your time.
I think it's just enough.
Look forward to today's In the Loop. Luke Morrow in for John Lopez, Reggie Atatula, Figgy Fig. That was Crosstalk, brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM HD2, Houston and Odyssey Sports Station.